We're going through the book of Genesis, taking some studies. This is a teaching time primarily, because in the early church, teaching was very important. We view the Bible as the Word of God. And as such, we believe it has authority. We should study it. We should learn it. The entrance of your words gives light, the scripture says. So we do a lot of Bible teaching here. We don't apologize for that. If you want just entertainment, if you want just a musical program, you have to go elsewhere. We're glad to have any music we can get. We don't have a lot of people that are that musical, maybe, but the emphasis here is on teaching the Word of God, as well as worshiping the Lord. And so we're going through some studies in the book of Genesis, and the book of Genesis starts off by saying, in the beginning, and that's the word that the Hebrew Bible uses as a title for this first book. It's a book of beginnings. And so we looked at the beginning of creation in chapter 1. We looked at the beginning of marriage in chapter 2. We looked at the entrance of sin in chapter 3, the beginning of sin in the human race. And then the beginning of salvation. And the beginning of God's judgment and so forth. The book of beginnings. And today we're going to look at the beginning of the Jewish race. You may wonder, well, where did the Jews come from? And what's their background? And Genesis 12 here is going to tell us, especially the beginning of the Jewish race. It all began especially with a man called Abraham. And Abraham's a man who is revered by three religions. The Jews, of course, look up to Abraham as their founding father. The Muslims, they look up to Abraham. He has a large place in their thinking as well. And, of course, Christians do, because we're part of that line of faith that began with Abraham and even earlier. Now, I'm going to read the last part of chapter 11 to pick it up here. So Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 29. Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. Sarah was barren. She had no child. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with him from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will bless him who curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan, so they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land, to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreb, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to you, your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. We're going to stop with the reading there. Now Abram lived in Ur of the Chaldees. And Ur is a place in the southern part of Iraq, and the ruins are still there. If you went there, you could still find the ruins of this city that Abram lived in roughly 3,000 years ago, a long time ago. And it was a modern city in the, for those days. It was a kind of a cultural center, very aggressive city. It was a very strong city in that area. And Abram lived there with his father and his brother Nahor and their families. And God appeared to him. God called him. And God said to him, I want you to leave. I want you to leave this country you're living in. I want you to leave this city. I want you to even leave some of your own family. And I want you to go over to this land I'm going to give you. And the Lord here says, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, as we think of this, I want to emphasize a little bit, first of all, the fact that a call from God came to Abram. And God said to him, look, you're living in a place I don't want you to live in, and I'm going to move you. He was going to uproot him from his culture, from his background, from all the rest, and he says, I'm going to put you in a new country, new area that I'm going to give to you. And it says that Abraham acted on that call. Now, I want to think a little bit of the fact that if you are a believer, there comes a time when God's call comes to you. And God's call is a call that basically says you're living in the wrong country, you're living in the wrong civilization, the wrong culture, and I want to pull you out of that, and I want you to become a person now who has a vision of going to a different land. And so Abraham had this call that came to him. Now it's very hard to make that break with what you've been familiar with. I've talked to people at different times who were thinking about becoming a Christian, and they've said, you know, it's scary because I don't know it's going to be so different. I'm going to leave what I'm familiar with. I'm familiar with the crowd I've been with. I'm familiar with drinking with them and partying with them and doing stuff with them, hanging out with them. And you're asking me to break away from that way of thinking, from this whole culture, and I don't know about this that lies ahead. I've never been down that road before. And for Abram, that was true. And God was saying to him, look, you're living in the wrong place. You're worshiping the wrong gods because they were idol worshippers. And God said, I want you to leave that and get out of there, and I'm going to take you to a different place. Now, when you become a Christian, really, this is what happens. You realize, I've been living in the wrong kind of culture. My thinking has been wrong. My whole way of looking at life has been wrong. I need to repent. I need to make this decision to follow the Lord instead of staying where I am. And this can be kind of hard, but this is part of repentance. And unless you repent, you'll perish. Because we're living in this world, which is a corrupt world, an ungodly world, a world that doesn't have a place for God, and a world that's materialistic. And God says to you, when you're convicted of your sin and you realize I've been living wrong, you know, you're going to have to make a break with that. You can't go back to it. If you're going to do what I want you to do, if you're going to become the person I want you to become, you have to repent and break with your past and break with your culture. And this is not easy to do. And I know, because it's unknown to you. You're thinking, what's going to be ahead? What will I do? How will my life be if I make this radical break with all that I'm familiar with? And for Abraham, it was a difficult choice. God said to him, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees, right? Here you've been comfortable. You have a nice home. You've lived here for years. Your friends are here. Everything you know is connected with this place. But this place is an evil place. It's a place where I'm not worshipped. It's a place where there's idolatry, where there's all kinds of sin, and God says, I want you to break with it and leave it. And when you become a Christian, you do this. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll perish. And repentance means a change of mind about how you've been living, about what your goals have been, about what life has all been about, and you realize, I've been living in the wrong place with the wrong way of thinking. I need to make a radical change. I need to respond to God and to His call for me. And that's repentance. You come to the point where you say, I'm sick of this and I'm not satisfied with what I've got here. I want to change. As long as you're happy where you are, you won't change. Abraham could have said to God, God, I don't want to leave. I like it here. All my friends are here. My drinking friends and all the rest. I like our religion. We've got our religion I'm familiar with. I'm going to stay. He could have made that choice. But instead it says that they chose to leave. And he made that break with his past. Now to make that break means you see there's something better than what you've got now. If you think your life the way it is now, living in this world, living for just for material things, living for pleasure, living for whatever, if you're happy with the idols you're worshiping, you're not going to want to change. You're going to have to get to the point where you realize as you think of this and as you hear the call of God, there's something better than what I've had, where I am. And so Abraham made that break. Now today people have different idols. Most of you may not have an image in your home where you light candles or you bow down before it. Some may, but most Americans don't, but they have different idols. It could be pleasure. Some get into drugs. This is their idol. This is what they live for. They wake up in the morning thinking about the drug, how they're going to get it, how they're going to get high, and life is centered in the drug. Or it can be in drink. You wake up in the morning, you think, well, I need a beer to get started. And your whole life sort of centers around drinking, around partying, and this kind of thing. Whatever your life centers around is your God. Now, there's some people who are just into their work, into their business, and that's what their life is. All of life is focused on being successful in business and work, and making money, and they live for that. And they may live for it to such an extent they're willing to become dishonest to make more money. Whatever your life centers around is your God. Abraham left behind the gods of Ur of the Chaldees, and they moved. Now, they moved from Ur, and they took a big swing up north into southern Turkey, and to Haran, and that's where they stopped. And I want to think of this as a place for Abraham. It was kind of a compromise. He went halfway, but he didn't quite go to the land of Canaan. And if you become a Christian, there's always the danger of compromising, of saying, well, I don't want to go all the way. you know, maybe we'll just compromise. Maybe we'll just go to some meetings from time to time. We'll read the Bible some. We'll be half-hearted. And there was this danger. And Abram stopped in Haran with his father and with his brother. And they stayed there for a while. Now, the influence may have been his father. Terah may have liked it in Haran because he didn't want to go any further. He stopped there, and his family stayed with him. And I was thinking of how when you become a believer, you make a break, and it has to be a break that sometimes includes your family. And as you read the words of the Lord Jesus, and I want to read some of these verses from the Lord Jesus in the book of Matthew, where the Lord here is making very strong demands, Matthew 10 and verse 32. The Lord says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now, the Lord Jesus is making some tremendous claims here, huh? He says, I want you to put me first. Even before your family. If you become a believer, it may mean that you will have to make a choice here that you're, if you're married, that your spouse, your husband, your wife is very unhappy about, disapproves of, and you feel that tremendous pressure. I want to please my husband. I want to please my wife. And yet they're opposed to my following the Lord. They're opposed to my accepting Him. And this creates real friction, real struggle. I remember a woman saying to me one time, when she got saved, her husband, they'd all been in the habit of going to bars together. And this is their way of living on the weekend. And she said, when she told her husband, "I don't want to go there anymore," it was a real challenge to him. He was very upset. And so you have this tension that comes in the family. If one says, "I want to accept the Lord, I want to follow Him, I want to do His will," the other party pulls back, there's a tremendous tension that arises. And I speak out of experience because my own mother became a believer, and then I became a believer, but my father was not, and he became furious, very angry. He thought we had joined some cult or something that was extreme, this business of needing to be saved and born again. We were church members, we were good people, we didn't need that stuff. And he became a very angry man, so angry, he ended up leaving us, deserting us. And my mother never saw him again. And the issue was really the Lord. Accepting the Lord Jesus, following the Lord. And the Lord Jesus said, and his demands are very strong there, he says, if you're serious about following me, that means you put me first. If he's the Son of God, if he died for us, if he poured out his blood for us, he ought to be first. He is God. He is deity. He's the Son of God. And we should put Him first. God, the Father, is put Him first. In Colossians 1:18 it says, He's the head over creation and He's also the head over the church. that in everything he might have first place. So Abraham here now is knowing that tension, and I think for a while he compromised and stayed in Haran because of his father. But now when his father dies, then Abraham says, okay, now we're going to go on. And he remembers the call that the Lord had made to him when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. Now the Lord had said to him, you know, I'm calling you and I'm asking you to leave your country. I'm asking you to leave your family and your father's house. And I'm asking you to follow me, put me first. And he says, I'm going to make a great nation of you. Now, it's an amazing thing when you think of Abram here, and he acts on this, and this is his vision. God has promised him, I'm going to make a great nation of you. From you is going to come the Jewish race, a great nation. And he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And Abram's name is great. As I mentioned, three religions, world religions, reverence Abraham. And he says this, I'll bless those who bless you. And then he says, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And through Abraham, through the Jewish people, has come blessing to all the world. The scriptures came to us through the Jewish people. So we owe great debt. God used the Jewish people to be the channel for the Word of God. He used the Jewish people to be the channel for the Savior. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a Jew. And so Abraham here has given this tremendous promise. Through you, Abraham, if you follow me, now if you respond to my call, God says, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. And today we're blessed here, in this city, in this state, through Abraham, because of his faith and his responding to the call of God. Now, Abraham then goes, enters the land of Canaan. He comes down from the north. He goes by Shechem, it says. And he moves on down to this place near Bethel. And in Bethel, it says in verse 8, between Bethel and Ai, he pitched his tent. He built an altar to the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. So Bethel is a place of consecration. Here is a place now where Abraham really gets serious with God, and God is going to be first in his life. It was a place of consecration. A time when he said, Lord, I really want you to be first in my life. Now, if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abram, and I want to read the verses here, because Abram is held up as a model for us. We who say we've accepted the Lord, we're going to follow him, Abram here is a model for us. We're going to read verses 8 to 10 and then 13 to 16 of Hebrews 11. Talking about Abraham, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then we're going to drop down to verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland, And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So Abraham, here's an example for us, a model for us of a life of faith. He leaves his country, he leaves the land where he's been, and he comes into Canaan, and he lives in a tent, and he's seen here as one who is living his life by faith. He's believing God, he's acted on what God has said, and he is looking forward in faith to what God has promised. Now, he never saw it while he was alive here, as far as having the land himself. He never owned that land. He didn't occupy that land. That happened later. But he had faith to believe it was going to happen. It says they were strangers and pilgrims. Or you could say strangers and sojourners or aliens. So these people who lived by faith were living there like aliens. They didn't really belong. Abraham here is in the land of Canaan. It's full of idolatry. It's full of corruption and sin. He's living in a tent, and he is separate from the other people around him. He's an alien in this world. Now, around Greeley, we have quite a few people that come up from Mexico. When they come up from Mexico, they're aliens here. They're strangers here. They speak a different language than a lot of us. Maybe they have a little different diet than some of us. They have a loyalty that is different from ours as far as country-wise. Their country is Mexico, basically. That's where their loyalty is. That's where their interest is. This is where their roots are, their ties are. They make money here, but they're sending it back to Mexico. Because that's really where their heart is. They are aliens. And so in a way, as a Christian, we should have something of that same feeling. In this world, we speak a different language. We talk about the Lord, and you'll use his name as a curse word. We talk about loving the Lord. We talk about obeying the Lord. We have different standards, and the world around us doesn't understand, doesn't appreciate it. We are aliens in this world, the scripture says. If you accept the Lord Jesus, now your loyalty is to a different place. And your whole life is different. You don't really belong here. We have friends in Mexico that are missionaries, have been down there over 50 years, and their children grew up in Mexico. And they're Mexicans. They're Anglos as far as their race, but as far as their thinking and all, they're Mexicans. I visited one of their daughters who was married to an Anglo, and he was living in Amarillo, Texas. And we got to talking, and she said to me, she said, you know, I don't feel comfortable in this culture. I'm really a Mexican, she said. I grew up in Mexico. That's my way of thinking. This is my home. And she wasn't happy here. And in time, she got her husband to move with her, and they are living in Mexico today. She felt she was an alien here. Her roots were really in this other country. That was where she felt comfortable. Now, he's saying to those who become Christians, we're really aliens in this world. The world culture around us, the world thinking around us is different from us. We talk about believing in God. We talk about believing our sins are forgiven. We talk about the fact that we know when we die, we're going to go to be with the Lord. The world around us says, you know, that's not our way of thinking. As far as the people around that aren't saved, their center is here in this life. Material things, these are the things that matter. They're not interested in heaven. They're interested in money here and pleasure here and things here, the home they have, whatever. They're not thinking in terms of heaven. They're not thinking I have a loyalty different from this world. But here, Abraham did. And he's a model for us today. And because of that, he was what the scripture calls a sojourner. In other words, Abraham just was living in a tent, and he was just saying, you know, I don't really belong here in this area. I'm not permanent here. I'm just passing through, you know. I'm not going to stay here. And so he lived in a tent, and by that he was saying, you know, I've got a permanent home ahead. This isn't really my home. And he's an example here of how our thinking should be. Now, we enjoy our homes. We enjoy the things we have. We can use them. But if you're really saved, you realize, you know, this isn't going to last. Time's going to come when I'm going to die. If the Lord comes back, and I'm going to leave it all behind. I'm just here kind of temporarily. And you may think life is long and the years are long, but I tell you it passes very quickly. And you're going to die. And I was at a funeral yesterday down in Burlington, Colorado, and a man that I've known for over 50 years is dead. And I walked by the casket and I saw him lying there, and he was very, very dead. So that life has been short. His life has passed quickly. His life here is over. But his life is not over. Because he's a Christian. And because death is just the entrance into heaven itself for the Christian. But that way of thinking is very different from the world around us. And probably a lot of these people looked at Abraham and thought, what are you doing living in that tent? Why don't you just settle down here and get a house and live here and enjoy our civilization and culture and so forth? Abraham said, no, I'm looking for a city that has foundations, it says here, whose builder and maker is God. So he was just realizing, I'm just here temporarily. I'm not here permanently. I'm just passing through. And so there was this realization of his character as an alien and as a sojourner in this life. So he's held up here as a model to the Christian that we should have that frame of thinking, that way of thinking, that this life is not permanent. We should live for eternity. We sometimes sing a chorus with eternity's values in view, and the Christian is not focused on this life as permanent. We're just passing through, and on the at the end of this life is heaven itself. So that the Christian's attitude is very different. Now, so he lived in tent, but he said it's here that he built an altar. And Abram became a worshiper of the true and living God. So worship was a part of his life. As far as this world was concerned, he says, I'm an alien, I'm just a sojourner, I'm just here temporarily. And he had a view of eternity, really, and something beyond this life. and he had a view of God, and so he worshiped God. He built an altar, and he stood there worshiping God. Now, you don't worship God until you come to really know the Lord. Before I was saved, I didn't worship God. I went to church, but I didn't worship God. I didn't know God. Very different. When I received the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and when I became a worshiper of God. Now, if you're a worshiper of God, there's some things you'll do. You'll read the Bible, because this is the way God's going to speak to you. He's going to communicate with you. The Bible will be a very important part of your life. And so we say to people, if they get saved, and I talk to people in the jail all the time, and I tell them, look, if you accept the Lord, this word, this book has to become a part of your life. You need to read it every day. You need to spend time with it. God is going to speak to you. You will grow spiritually as your spiritual food. If you're going to be a worshiper of God, you must have the Word of God in your life. Now, if you're a Christian, are you reading the Word every day? Is it a part of your life? Are you allowing God to speak to you? Worshiping God involves hearing His voice. And he's going to speak to you through this book, this wonderful book, the Word of the Living God. And so we reverence this as the Word of God. And if you're a worshiper, you're going to pray. Prayer is going to become part of your life because you're thinking of God, and so you're going to be talking to God. If you're happy, you're going to thank God. You're going to be rejoicing. You can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being so good to me. You sit down to eat your food, and you say, this comes from God ultimately. Thank you, Lord, for giving me good food. You have a home. You don't view it as a result of just your own efforts. You say, this is a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. What do you have that you didn't receive, Paul said to the Christians? You've received everything from God. You've got a good mind. You can say, thank you, Lord. You could have been born mentally handicapped. You have a good, healthy body. Thank you, Lord. It comes from you. You're the source of all life. So the Christian's living his life very differently from the world. The world's attitude is, you know, whatever I have, I did it. The Christian's attitude is, as he worships God, he realizes everything comes from God ultimately. My life, everything I have is from God. And so he's God conscious and thankful as he goes through life. Trouble comes. Sickness comes. What's he do? He prays. Any among you suffering? Let him pray, the scriptures say. And you pray, you cry out to God, you realize, God, you hear me. You understand. Lord Jesus, you know what I'm going through. And you pray because you're worshiping God. And God is a vital part of your life. And then because you're a worshiper of God, you want to be with others who worship Him. And this is very important because together, as we worship and as we hear the Word of God, it strengthens us, reinforces us. It supports us in what we believe. You realize I'm not alone, and here are my brothers and sisters, and we're all part of God's family. And that's part of worshiping the Lord. Very important. Very important. I see men who, and women who, you know, stop meeting with Christians and they begin to drift. And they're not going to do well. They're very vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. And so we encourage people, we urge people, we say, listen, if you get saved, meet with Christians regularly. You need that love, you need that teaching, you need that support from your brothers and sisters. Family life is very, very important. So Abraham, he's an example for us. Beginning of the Jewish race, and God here says you're going to have to leave your culture, basically repent, change your thinking about where you've lived and what you've done and how you've patterned your life, and you're going to become a pilgrim, you're going to become a stranger in this world, you're going to become a sojourner, you're going to be one who now becomes a worshiper of me. Not of idols, not of false gods, now you're going to worship the true and living God. And your life is going to be a life of faith. What's a wonderful thing to be saved? To know your sins are forgiven. Do you know that? If you died today, do you know you'd go to be with the Lord? Abraham is in heaven today. Because he responded to the call of God, and the God said, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Abram said, okay, I'll leave. And he turned his back on the world he had known, and he became one who was an alien in this country where he went. He was a sojourner, just living in a tent, but he was one who built an altar. Worship was a part of his life. He knew the true and living God. So ask yourself the question, am I like Abraham? Have I repented and turned away from my past? If you're happy where you are, you'll never change. But if you're tired of the way you've been living, if you're tired of what your pattern of life has been, and you want to come to know your sins are forgiven, and you want to get to know the true and living God, turn to Him, accept Him in faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's the good news. The wonderful good news of the gospel. And when you think of this life, it's short. I know I was so reminded of that yesterday. At that funeral, thinking of this man who I've known for many years, who's gone. Life has been short. But if you're ready to go, then it's just the door opening into heaven itself. And Paul says that's far better. Far better. I hope you can say, I know the Lord. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm on the way to heaven. And if not, you can come to know Him even today. And I hope you make that decision.